But I need a spool of thread. Well, a man with dirty dread, he steps around the corner. He asked me for a dime, a nickel or a quarter. I don't have any change, so I'm stepping along. But as I'm walking past, he sings to me a song. He's a whole new bucket. Looking through the radio. He's alive. Glory to God. He's a whole new bucket. Looking through the radio. He's alive. Cause I'm humming the song. The buses and the people, I'll keep moving along. To the shopkeeper, I say, what's up? And I'm thinking about the man who's holding up the cup. I pay for all the stuff and get a pocket full of change. Well, should I give it to the man? The question in my brain. What's gonna happen if I give the man a dime? I don't wanna pay for another brother's wine. What's gonna happen if I give the man a quarter? Will he find a dealer and try to place an order? What's gonna happen if I give the man a nickel? Will he buy some food or some pork that's in pickle? I'm not responsible for the man's depression. How can I find compassion in the midst of a recession? How can all these questions keep my head, and I still can't remember why I need a spool of thread. It's a whole new bucket. Looking through the radio. Dear life. Glory to God. There's a whole new bucket. Looking through the radio. Dear life. Dear life. Glory to God. There's a whole new bucket. Looking through the radio. Dear life. Just as I'm walking past, I'm trying to avoid him cause I know he's gonna ask me about the coinage that is in my pocket. But I don't know if I should put it in his pocket. I walk right past to think about it more. Back at the crib, I'm opening up the door. A pocket full of change don't mean a lot to me. My cup is half full, but his is empty. I put back on my cap and I start heading back. I reach into my pocket and I have a heart attack. Well, as I'm digging deep, I scream, oh no. There's nothing in the pocket but a great big hole. Well, I was busy thinking if he would buy a snack. The jingle in my pocket slipped through the cracks. No one has a change in it. Up my head, but now I know the reason why I had to buy the thread. There's a hole in the bucket. There's a hole in the bucket.
Hello, it's a little after 6 p.m. and you are listening to KBOO in Portland, 90.7 FM. That was a song from the band Spearhead off of their album Home. This is Hole in the Bucket, KBOO's show on poverty, housing, and homelessness. I'm your host, Ryan. Hole in the Bucket is on 6 to 7 p.m. the first and third Wednesday of every month. Now, last month on Hole in the Bucket, we spoke with Valerie Chapman, the pastoral administrator of the St. Francis Parish, which operates Portland's largest day center for impoverished and homeless people. We are speaking about the current controversy between the St. Francis Dining Hall and some of the folks from the Buckman neighborhood. We got several calls during that show, so I promised that this week we would open up the phone lines to take those calls. This being community radio and all. And Ani Haynes, the volunteer coordinator here at KBOO, agreed to be a co-host with me. Hi, Ani.
Good evening, Orion. It's really great to be on Hole in the Bucket, which is one of my favorite KBOO shows, and I'm really honored to be here tonight.
Thank you. And the great thing about Ani, besides the fact that she does awesome talk radio in the mornings, is that she's a member of the board of the Buckman Community Association.
Yeah, I am. I want to make clear that I'm not actually speaking for the board. I haven't been asked to speak for the board, but I can speak as a longtime Buckman resident, and I can speak as someone who's been to the Buckman Community Association meetings, and indeed I facilitated the last one. So I'm familiar with the issue.
Right. So she's familiar with the issue, and she's going to be taking some calls. So I'm going to give you the number. Don't call now because we're going to do a little something first. But write down this number, 231-8187 is the call-in number. Again, that's 231-8187. We'll put you on it probably in about 10 minutes. And since it's the top of the hour right now, I'm just going to jump in and give you an hour's notice about the Buckman Community Association meeting that's going to be held tonight. Gives you a little bit of warning, so stick a burrito in the microwave and get your booty down there. It's going to be at the Norse Hall at 111 Northeast 11th. That's tonight at 7 at the Norse Hall, Northeast 11th and about Cooch. And at this meeting, members of St. Francis and the neighborhood will talk, hopefully, about how they can get along and deal with their problems constructively. So if you would like to participate in that dialogue, or if you would just like to find out more about this issue, I'm going to encourage everyone to go down there. And certainly if you're in the Buckman neighborhood, you should get your little booty down there. I know it's cold and dark outside, but this is your neighborhood. This is a big, important issue. You should be there. That's at 7 in about an hour at the Norse Hall at 111 Northeast 11th. So before we open up the phone lines, I do have also with me here today G. Thaymeyer, and you may be familiar with his bucket of food reviews that he's done in the past. And tonight he was kind enough to write a piece about his experience attending a dinner at the St. Francis Dining Hall on a Halloween night, so this is timely. And I think it will give folks who haven't been over to the dining hall on 330 Southeast 11th a feel for it and the community that uses it. Thank you for being here with us tonight, Jay.
Thank you. I hadn't been back to St. Francis for a meal for over a year, not since I got my own place, and frankly, I felt like an interloper this time. Not filthy, not so burnt out, knees and hips not aching, not needing to simply sit down with a hot meal to look forward to after spending the day pounding the pavement. It was a different feeling I was dealing with. That weight I didn't bring with me this time. This time I was there to volunteer and check out what all the furor was over. St. Francis is facing closure. Walking toward the dining hall, heading north up 12th, I passed Ann Hughes' table and took a moment to read the letter on her front door. She felt endangered, and it closed the place up. Mayhem across the street, the yellow sheet read. Someone had lost it and been off their meds and gone berserk and torched the joint building. Arson and violence, not small concerns to be sure. She called for closing down Join and St. Francis for, quote, aiding and abetting in criminal activity. My initial sympathy for a small business owner was eroded, however, by images from earlier times when the underclass was demonized and dismissed as the dangerous classes and the great unwashed, and vagrancy laws were in place to deal with them. They were carted off to the jailhouse and the poorhouse without a second of attention to why they were there. They were considered subhuman, without rights, something, as it was said, from the depths, and that was all there was to it. Whether Hell's Kitchen or St. Francis Dining Hall, the names for some are synonymous with depravity, for others, opportunity for change from despair. I had to wonder, how would, for example, Sisters of the Road Cafe respond to the same situation? Well, I knew, since they deal with imminent mayhem every single day that they're open, and convert it to community. I also couldn't help but think they don't close down capitalism for aiding and abetting criminal activity just because of a little arson at the World Trade Center. But I digress. The point, simply put, is that when street folks erupt, just as with anyone else, there's a reason, some basic need not being met. For example, the money not there to create functional lives out of the dysfunctional and marginalized. So crisis provides opportunity to deal with causes. What, after all, is community without crisis? And the fact is, with the economy in the toilet and the refusal of the right wing in Salem to solve the budget shortfall, there are only going to be more homeless. And if Measure 28 fails in January and GA is eliminated, that's 2,700 practically automatic homeless added to the batch. As to the meal, passing the International School for Immigrant Children and the loaded-up shopping carts gathered in a crowd like sampans around the door, I entered the dining hall and checked to see if I recognized anyone who was there. A number of familiar faces, daily attenders a year ago, were absent. Several faces looked a lot older. The fellow with the drumsticks who had slept on the mat next to me in Harbor Lights for a week last December was noticeably the worse for wear. 10 years in one, as the saying goes. The junk's still keeping the brothers and sisters out there wasting away. No life on the street after the romance and novelty have faded, and you're stuck there. In any event, for a moment, a brief time in the day, the dining hall was home, a cozy space to sit and socialize and eat a good meal. Flyers on the wall advertised Art in the Park for children aged 6 to 12, but that, of course, was concluded. The park is now entirely closed. There was a chess tournament several weeks ago. I can recognize faces in the photo collage from Pioneer Square. Paintings by houseless feeders festoon most of one wall. One painting of what looks like Mahia Poot sits on the stage, serving as a reminder of last week's release party for Kathleen Jergen's Welcome to America CD. Other details speak as well to the various needs of the poor folks. Poor folks being empowered, fed, showered, provided with warm, clean clothes for winter, at least enabling the person to get a good start on the season. Whatever the upshot of this crisis, the needs cannot be wished away. And it will always be people like the people providing the meal and the safe place to eat it who will be there for the others. And there will be others. It was spaghetti night the other night, with real fruit in the compote and a fresh green salad, garlic bread, the inevitable pastries, and half-frozen blueberries. Berries, intended for Japan, were redirected to the Oregon Food Bank, where Scott Thomason, performing his community service at the food bank warehouse, loaded the berries for delivery to St. Francis. I hope I'll see you at 7 o'clock at the North Hall, 111 Northeast 11th, to help the community resolve this St. Francis crisis. This is Jay Thiemeyer for Hole in the Bucket.
Thank you, Jay. Paints a vivid portrait of what it's like to head over to St. Francis and get a meal. You said it had been a year since you'd been there?
Right. About this time last fall.
Yeah. How was it very different having the park closed?
The park wasn't at that hour of the day, wasn't as much of a factor. When I was there, there weren't that many people sleeping out there. But, you know, as everybody knows who looks into it, they're more homeless. And people are, there aren't enough shelter beds. They talk about 500 beds, they're including beds with a fee, $3 for a mat, not even a bed, a mat over at City Team's mission or ministries. And there just isn't sufficient shelter.
So that 500 shelter bed figure includes the beds that people have to pay for.
Right.
It's bogus.
It also, I think, includes the mats over at Harbor Lights, where I was staying last year, and the mats at Portland Rescue Mission, which open up from November 1st, I believe, until the end of March or something.
For the winter season.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Concession to the weather.
So St. Francis, again, is located at 33 Southeast 11th, and there's a park and a church there. The parish has been there for over 100 years at that location.
It's indispensable.
And their dining hall has been in operation. I'm not sure. I should know this. I just interviewed Valerie last month.
Pretty lengthy time. I've known about it for 15 years.
Yeah. 15 years.
It's gone on, for, I think, far longer than that. Yeah.
It's been a while.
And it's also a home for JOIN, a homeless advocacy group, and VOSS, an immigrant workers' right organization. And right now the dining hall serves about 250 meals a day right now. So
it's a big piece.
It's a big piece of the meal continuum, right?
And it's a real shame in my mind that, you know, you're going to have crises. And it's either a chance for the community to come together or people are going to split apart. You're going to have people who are in a special need. You know, if you're homeless, you have special needs. And hope people come together to solve it.
I think that's a really good point. And I do think that this crisis is presenting opportunities for people to work together to find some solutions to things that are bigger than any of us can deal with. You know, the problems that I'm hearing about are certainly not problems that I would think are exclusive to St. Francis Dining Hall or St. Francis, you know, the grounds around St. Francis or the park. They seem to be problems of poverty, you know, of people being absolutely disenfranchised and disenchanted. Getting rid of a dining hall, getting rid of one of the very few places where the homeless folks can check into a clinic to get some health screening, to find some referrals and transitional services, you know, to close that is going, I think, well far in the wrong direction. We need more of those services because St. Francis alone cannot and should not be expected to handle the problems of homelessness in the Portland area. You know, it's too great a problem. What we need is help from the county. What we need is help from the city. You know, what we need are resources actually being put towards human services.
Well, the reason that there's so many people who are drawn to the place to begin with is that there's so few services available at other places.
Exactly.
To find a toilet,
exactly.
To have a shower, access to a phone, job referrals, the things that you mentioned. These resources just aren't available a lot of places.
Exactly. And so the idea then of eliminating them here because then maybe people will just go away, you know, that doesn't make any sense at all. What we need is to have more spots where people can get services, more services offered, period. We need to actually deal with the issues of homelessness and poverty.
Go ahead and call us if you have thoughts on this, if you live in Buckman, if you don't live in Buckman, if you are homeless, if you're not homeless. Call 503-231-8187 and give us your thoughts on the problem of homelessness, on what the Buckman neighborhood and St. Francis should do about it, or anything else for that matter. Okay, it looks like we have a caller.
I do want to clarify one thing, that the meeting tonight is not actually a Buckman Community Association meeting. The meeting tonight is actually organized by, I believe, a branch of the city neighborhood office, ONI. So just to make that clarifying.
Thank you. All right. Do we have a caller there on the line?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes, I just had a few comments. I've been homeless in quite a few spots in the country, and in Albuquerque, everyone that cared would just put things out, food every night, clothing whenever they had it, because there was no working system, and it certainly wasn't adequate, but the people that lived anywhere near it would just do anything they could to help. And it seemed to work, and it always seemed like everyone was willing. And I'm wondering why the people in the Buckman neighborhood wouldn't be just willing to put up with anything, seeing these people go in there like they do every day. Because they've got an up-close and personal look at the great need in front of them every day. And so the issue should be, why are we so late? How can we do more? And I know I'm kind of prejudiced in that way because I've been homeless so many times, but seems to me like a non-issue. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Well, to be sure, some of the neighbors have had some pretty specific complaints.
And they'll probably have more. There's going to be more homelessness in the future.
Right, and of things that I would not actually say would be exclusive to the homeless community by any stretch of the imagination. But they are problems that our community overall needs to face. Problems like needle disposal. Problems like bathrooms, you know, public defecation really only happens when people don't have very basic services. So what can we do as a community to make sure that people have toilets? Yeah, exactly.
And so do what's in front of you, and then it's a non-issue again.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, it's about not in my neighborhood again. Like,
exactly.
What is really going on?
So
what's really going on is not in my neighborhood.
So what can we do as a neighborhood exactly to alleviate the stress
wonder about why we're so late and what can we do to catch up and how can we help the person in front of us.
Thanks so much for your call.
You're welcome.
We have another caller. I'm a couple of Hi there. Hi.
I was just wondering if you could say on the radio a phone number where we could call to volunteer and help at St. Francis?
To volunteer and help at St. Francis. Yes, that would be wonderful. Let me give you, this is what I, oh, Jay, do you have something? I have an email for Pat Schweibert, who's been organizing meetings of the Congregate Meal Site group, and this is a bunch of different people in Portland who form the continuum of free meals that are given out. And Pat's email, oh, let's see, do I have an email? Here, I have a phone. Here, 503-284-7426. And Pat could direct you to any number of these meal site groups, including St. Francis, but there's others as well, and I'm sure there's one in your area.
Thank you.
Yeah, did you want that number again?
I got it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. All right, is there someone else on the line here? Hello, caller.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Ann, and I was just calling because I'm not sure, I know Ani's aware because we talked about it, that the Sunnyside Church here in the Sunnyside neighborhood faced the same kind of problem about 2 years ago as far as people in the community suddenly deciding they didn't want the homeless meals program to be a part of the church, what the church offered. And I think it would be a real good resource for people at St. Francis to talk to the people at Sunnyside about some of the things that they did in conjunction with the neighborhood association to smooth out relations. I mean, it would be a real shame to lose St. Francis as a resource for the homeless people. And, you know, it's really important for the people in Portland to get over the idea that we can tell our poor to go live somewhere else. That's not going to happen. And we need to be providing them services. The meals program at Sunnyside is getting along with its neighbors much better now.
Do you have a number if people are interested in volunteering at St. Francis that they could call? Do you know?
No, I don't.
Just wondering.
No, I don't. I don't have that much to do with Sunnyside either, other than that my clients go there. And remembering the meeting that we had at the church downtown one Sunday afternoon when there were like 1,300 people from various churches in the neighborhood that all got together to say, wait a minute, the government can't tell us this. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty exciting. And I'd like to see some of those same people rally behind St. Francis and help them through this.
Anne, where do you work? I'm sorry, I didn't catch your whole name.
Oh, I'm Anne Rose Pierce.
Anne from Prison Pipeline.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I volunteer at KBOO, but I also work for Rainbow Adult Living, which provides services to adults with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And it's those clients that also like to access Sunnyside Church. Actually, I know one that goes to St. Francis a lot, too, more for the social than, I mean, sometimes they need a meal, but it's really more because they need the socializing and they enjoy being there.
Right. All right. Thanks very much for your call tonight.
Okay.
All right. We have someone else on the line here.
Yeah.
Hi there.
Hi. You may have addressed this. I may have missed it, but we'll start with, I have a business downtown right across from the Mission, Rescue Mission, and so I'm one of those people that sees the problem every day and appreciates both sides of the issue. One, the effect it has on businesses where people are afraid, for example, to get off the mat because, you know, these people are waiting for their meals. And but on the other hand, with those people and the homeless, there's also the drug dealers and the, it can give an impression that so that people will stay away from my business. And I understand that. However, you know, we've been there for years and never had a problem, although we do see a lot of drug dealing going on. But I'm assuming that the neighbors in the church also have concerns like that when they see people defecating and urinating, you know, in sight of their children, let's say, or and leaving a mess in the drug dealing. Now, my question is, and what maybe perhaps you addressed is, I mean, I don't know really who you talked to about that. I've written numerous letters to the city saying, will you please provide bathrooms for the people so that they do not have to go under the bridge, for example.
It seems like a really basic issue, doesn't it?
It does seem like a very basic issue. And I think people have the right to, you know, use facilities. And they do have public facilities, which they open only on the weekends and Saturday markets.
Right.
But there is one two blocks down the street, and I send people there in my business because we don't have our own bathroom. And you know, we, you know, there's needles in there and this and that. So it's an issue I can certainly see both parts of.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I mean, I make contributions to different groups for the homeless. I write to the city about things like, I mean, the bathroom, or is where is there a place for these people to go?
Right.
I mean, why are they sleeping under the bridge when it could, there really couldn't be a much colder place because the wind whistles through there? So I don't have a problem with people waiting to be fed, and I think that's fine, but I think that one of the basic things that makes neighbors nervous, whether it be for their children or for their business, is, you know, the drug dealing and defecating in public. And if those issues that make people so immediately in your face nervous could be dealt with, which, as you say, are fairly basic issues, I think it might alleviate some of the nervousness in the neighborhood. But, you know, I honestly don't know what more. I mean, I know there's more to be done, but I'm not quite sure where you do it. You can make your contributions and you can write a letter, but, you know,
where is
the arm? Who is there nobody really?
You're a business owner. You're a business owner, which means that you pay city taxes, right?
Indeed.
Why doesn't the city and the county provide the very basic infrastructure and human needs services that we're paying money for? I mean, that's ultimately, you know, I really believe in mutual aid. I believe in us taking the power and solving our own problems. But as long as they're collecting our taxes, what are we getting for it? And why can't we demand basic services like public toilets?
Well, isn't there a public service that is delegated or designated to require that or not? Maybe not.
No.
And that doesn't seem absurd.
There is no ordinance that says the city provides public toilets.
No, there isn't. And there were public toilets, but they've all been closed down systematically because of drugs. Well, when I was in Europe, they have retired people who are paid something, and some of them volunteer to hang out in public restrooms. They
keep
actually
clean and safe,
right. They provide
keep
the towels, you know, da da. The
right.
Charwomen, my family, a long tradition in my family. We were the charwomen in those bathrooms, and you know, I mean, come on,
we need to get creative,
right? You know, closing the bathrooms is not an option, and stopping services is not an option. It doesn't solve the problem. So you're right on in writing to the city in demanding public toilets. It seems like the very least we can provide our citizens with.
Well, I will say that both Commissioner Hale, or ex-commissioner if he is already, but he and the mayor did not deem it fit to answer my 3-page letter. But
I'll just keep on making
calls, I have been encouraged by Clean and Safe to continue to be the group that keeps supposedly Clean and Safe downtown to, you know, keep being a squeaky wheel. But if there's nobody
This is a strange suggestion, you know, but maybe it's time for a public toilets movement in this city. You know,
here. Intended, is that right? Okay.
Okay. Right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much. Bye bye.
All right, Jay. Did you want to throw something in there?
Yeah, two things. I was first on the street in Atlanta, Georgia, back in the beginning of the '80s, and there they did have a huge, end homelessness campaign that focused on the lack of public toilets. I mean, it's a really galvanizing image when you think about it. The other thing is that it takes money to do these things, and in this no-tax environment that people have been schlepping over on us, it's really difficult to get the money for these basic needs. And I have to point to Measure 28, that if that fails, that's almost automatic, several thousand more homeless, and that is not alarmist or exaggeration. That's just the reality.
We'll have the chance to vote on that when now?
January 28th.
January 28th. So get your butt out to you don't even have to get your butt out to the poll. To the mailbox.
Mm-hmm.
January 28th. in January, to vote on Measure 28. Liam, did we have some more calls? Okay. Why don't you throw...
Perhaps throwing the phone number out again.
Oh, yes. 503-231-8187. Okay, put one of those callers on. Hi, caller.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, this is Arthur.
Hey, Arthur. Hey, you're the membership coordinator here at KBOO, aren't you?
Yes, mm-hmm. ma'am. You know, I was, one comment I wanted to make was that, you know, I used to think it was a bunch of yuppies complaining about their property values until I realized where St. Francis is located in that park, you know. And I was talking to my housemate, and we're both, you know, kind of healthy guys in our 30s, and we're both afraid to use that park because there are people shooting up and this type of thing. And one thought that occurred to me is that one of the problems there is just the way the park's built. It has kind of berms all the way around. It's very enclosed, so you don't really have a clear line of sight. You know, I walk around, I talk to homeless people on the street and whatnot, and I volunteered at Sisters and this type of thing. When I walk around, say, the North Park blocks, there may be homeless people, but there's no, you know, people hiding out using drugs and this type of thing. And so I one of my ideas is that just the construction of the park just doesn't allow for plain public viewing, and I think that encourages people to go back there and, you know, do whatever they're going to do. So that's my comment. I agree with you all fully in terms of the need to support social services, public bathrooms, and these kinds of things. But, I mean, I'd also say the neighbors have a gripe. I also know someone who lives in the neighborhood has a big dog and is afraid to use the park for the same kinds of reasons. Mm-hmm. So I'd say that the concerns are real. I know some people have just kind of dismissed them in the past. So they do need to be addressed, mm-hmm. but how can, you know, at the same time, right. you know, clearly we need to support our services.
Right. Sticking our heads in the sand, that doesn't do anyone any good in any direction. You know, it doesn't do, you know, any good to the larger problem to say, we just want the services to go away and they'll disperse. That kind of denial doesn't help the problem. And also, it doesn't help the problem to say there is no problem, we're providing good services and everyone should just be cool with it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I walk to work all the time. And, again, I used to, actually. I take it back. I don't anymore. But, you know, I know that pretty much strewn from, 12th Street to KBOO, there are needles. You know, they are ubiquitous. But I don't think that that's a problem unique to St. Francis or because St. Francis is here. There's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of desperation. And there's a lot of, you know, drugs and prostitution going on in the Lower Burnside neighborhood. And really in many parts of Portland, there are pockets of desperation. And we need to address those problems. And the city needs to really look at it as a public or the county or maybe the state. You know, I don't know which level would best address it in this time of budgetary shortfall, but we need to address the public health concern of needle disposal. You know, pretending that people don't shoot up doesn't work.
Yeah. And I'd like to suggest to all of you residents who maybe don't like to see that in their neighborhoods, since the city is enforcing the sit-lie ordinance in a limited area, that would be the downtown area because they've been pressured by the business association down there. Mm-hmm. It's pushing people out of the city. They're saying you can't sit here, you can't lie
it's
here.
Pushing people out of the downtown.
You can't live here.
Into other neighborhoods.
Into other neighborhoods. So not only is it unhumanitarian, but it puts pressure on other areas, and people have to sit down. It's a fact of
somewhere.
Physics.
Or lie. One of the two.
Or lie.
Somewhere. Sooner or later, it's going to happen.
People can't be wandering around like zombies with toothpicks holding their eyes open, as Jack Tafare from Dingay Village often says. So when you enact things like sit lie downtown, it affects all of us, and it pushes people around, and it makes them desperate. So I'd like to add that. So the park on the premises of St. Francis was closed down last month, and this was at the request of the Southeast Precinct Commander Grubb. Is that a funny word? Any name? I'm sorry, Commander Grubb. I just think that's funny. Southeast Precinct Commander Grubb asked the parish to close down the park, and they told him they would, which they have on October 17th. Effectively, they have done this by disallowing any day camping, and that's pretty much sit lie. They're not allowing anyone to sit at the park, hang out at the park, pretty much use the park. They haven't posted anything yet. I spoke with them today at St. Francis. They said they're going to be posting signs this Friday telling people that the park is closed. And Commander Grubb demanded that the park be closed for 180 days, but fortunately the closure is going to be subject to review in 60 days. And what they have done, I mean, in answer to Arthur's concerns, yes, St. Francis knows there's problems. They haven't always, it sounds like they haven't always reacted to them in the right way or quickly enough. What they've done at the request of Commander Grubb is they have a paid certified security officer who they have long had, but they've stepped up patrols. So now I guess he's working Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and he's also patrolling Saturday, 10 to 4. But the deal is that Commander Grubb was demanding it be a certified paid security guard, and St. Francis can't afford that forever. They told me today that they're going to run out of money, and then this security person won't be able to patrol 6 days a week. But Commander Grubb is insisting that the patrol is conducted by a paid certified person and not the staff at St. Francis and not a community group, which I think is kind of short-sighted. And as a community, I think we should have something to say about that. I would be willing to put on a pink beret and patrol the grounds.
Right. It seems like really community self-policing is a suggestion I've been putting forth for a while, that, you know, there's a population at St. Francis that, you know, is also concerned that there are some people, you know, a very small minority of people who are preying on very vulnerable populations,
right?
Both the neighbors and the homeless folks, you know. And so self-policing would be in everyone's best interest if we could find the means to do that, you know.
Do we have any calls, Liam? We have two calls. Okay, why don't we throw another call on here? Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
I do want to say that I've heard from St. Francis that they have tried to start or are starting, have started, a community council, which is the first step in that direction. And I was really encouraged by that.
I was also. And it's made up completely of patrons of St. Francis. And so they can get their own stuff together, as it were.
And I find that really exciting. It's community empowerment at its basic. You know, this is a problem, and it's really always best if communities can come up with the solutions to our own problems. Otherwise, other people will do it for us, and no one will like that. So,
do we have a caller, Liam?
I think so.
All right.
Hello, you're on the air? No, we don't.
Okay. That's all right. Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Good. You bet. You know, I used to live in the Buckman neighborhood there, and of course, the whole neighborhood. When I moved in the early '80s, mid '80s, it was very, very run-down neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a house for dirt cheap. Of course, it was pretty poor shape. And over the years, you know, fixed it up and everything, and sold it at a tidy little profit some years later. I think an earlier caller had mentioned the Sunnyside neighborhood, too, and the same thing is happening. We've got this gentrification going on. And these are social things that, you know, one agency, you know, like St. Francis, I mean, all we can really do is, like, apply a Band-Aid. The system itself, it's a systemic problem. And these are, you know, this is like aspirin hiding the headache, you know. What's the cause of this all? And those are the things that need to be addressed, and those are tough questions because we have to start questioning the whole basis and structure of our society, you know, how we operate. The loss of progressive taxation, for example, various different economic things like that. And also, I was listening to you talk there about the self-policing. Because what I found out, you know, my kids used to go play in the St. Francis Park there, and we'd run across needles. But, you know, we also ran across some really decent folks. And I had an old Volkswagen bus, used to park it out in front of my house. And, you know, we had a guy sleeping in it every night. You know, one morning I had to leave real early in the morning, like 5 in the morning. You know, I opened up the door, oh, I'm sorry, you know, and he got out and everything. But those things, you know, some of my friends, you know, how could you even stand that? I mean, isn't that awful? I said, geez, you know, the guy needs a place to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't doing anything bad to us. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it was only a little thing. And I think what it comes down to, it's like, you know, lifting a person up. You know, if you got a whole bunch of people, you know, one little finger each, you know, it can lift a person up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you put it on the shoulders of one or two people, I mean, it really becomes a burden to them, and everybody else is out, la, 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 you know. And so there's something there that's not right, you know, that you know, this burden is really put on, you know, one or two, three, you know, handful of social service agencies that are trying the best that they can. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a gushing wound and it's going to get worse. And these Band-Aids just aren't holding it.
Right. We don't even have a tourniquet. Right.
Right. You know, and so until, you know, some politicians, you know, get the guts and, you know, really start addressing this, like, you know, we need to excise this cancer, you know, or whatever, you know, metaphor you want to use.
Right.
You know, nothing's going to happen, and it's just going to get worse. And, of course, desperation breeds desperation. And, you know, like Shakespeare said, you know, poverty comes in the front door, love goes out the back window.
Right.
You
it's
know,
hard for people to be civilized when their bellies are empty.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they're, you know, just like any organization, you get a couple of bad apples, and it casts a, you know, that sort of same shadow on everybody,
right,
you know,
right.
And so as I believe the self-policing, the analysis of what are our priorities in our society. I mean, you know, obviously we know, you know, big cars, you know. I mean, you know, but how can that be changed? How can people's ideologies, you know?
Right. I think the first thing to do is to go down and actually meet the people. Like, we're talking about people. Jay here has been to St. Francis. Go over to St. Francis. I invite everyone. 330 Southeast 11th Street. Go there, see what goes on. You might even want to volunteer. I do have a number for St. Francis now. I dug it out. It's 503-232-5880. And you can cruise on down there. You can just see what goes on. You could volunteer. Even just once, it would give you a flavor for it. You'd know what we're talking about. Or go to a meal site in your neighborhood, you know, the Sunnyside Church. See what it's all about. That's one way we could all educate ourselves, I suppose.
There's some really, really fun people that are homeless or, you know, living, you know, right on the poverty margins.
Right.
I mean, very, you know, intelligent people, fun people to be around, you know, and
real, honest to God people in all varieties.
That's
yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know, and, anyway, thank you for letting me say my little piece here.
Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, what are you doing in 20 minutes? Because if you're within, say, oh, you know, that amount of time from 11th and Northeast Cooch, maybe you want to go to this meeting tonight. Maybe anyone else listening wants to go to that meeting. It's at 7 o'clock. It's at 111 Northeast 11th. Some numerologist can go wild with that. And it's going to be at the Norse Hall. I believe the entrance is on 11th, and it starts in about, 18 minutes or so. It's being put forth by a section of the city, I believe. It's being facilitated, and it's a time to really put out some issues and try to come up with some solutions for what to do. All right, Liam, you say we have two more callers. Let's just take those two, and then we can move on. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah.
Hey.
Call me D. I'm from the St. Francis area.
Hey, D.
Yeah, I got some issues with St. Francis, but I also have issues with people that live around St. Francis. You know, everybody in this area, in this neighborhood, and within the whole city of Portland, is just a paycheck away from being out here where we are.
Amen.
You know, every person that you see walking the street is not a bad person. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of brothers. I got a lot of brothers out here on the street that work, they can't get apartments right now because they have a 20-year-old DUI arrest or a minor, you know, something minor that a person's like, well, you know, we can't allow you to live on our property.
Or a bad credit check at this point will get you excluded from quite a lot of properties.
You know, you understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
No, I have a job also at this point, you know. And, look, basically, I'm living in a vehicle. I'm not a bad guy. I know another guy that lives by me. He lives in an RV. He's not a bad guy. He works every day, you know. Mm-hmm. But the issue is with St. Francis, yeah, it's a lot of drug dealing. It's all over the city. It's not just about drugs. It's about people treating a person that doesn't have what they have.
Mm-hmm. Less,
you know, like they're a lesser person or they're an animal or something, you know. It shouldn't be like that.
What would you do, Dee, if you were a patron of St. Francis and, as I've heard from some people, people eat there are like, hey, I'm tired of these other people or fighting or whatever. I just want to sit down and eat my meal and not be bothered. What would you suggest could be done constructively to deal with problems like that on the campus there?
Okay, they got a thing that's saying a person is like 86 for, you know, 30 days for getting caught smoking herbs or 90 days for getting caught shooting up or whatever. You know, what I would do, I would have just, you know, a lunch serving. You know, a lunch or dinner, you know, something like that. You know, there's a billion places in the city that you can go eat, you know, and you can still communicate with your friends and, you know, whatever you want to do.
So enforcing the, you know, the 86 rules if people violate it, just keeping up on that?
I wouldn't even enforce the 86 rule because it's against your natural rights as being a citizen to be 86 from anywhere, you know, unless you're really, really causing damage to property or, you know, just ain't nobody murdering nobody, just be like that. If you get into an argument, if it doesn't come down to physical violence, then, you know,
mm-hmm.
You shouldn't, you know, like they say, the police will come and move you. But, you know, if they 86 you from this area of the city, they will move you from one area to the next. Is that solving the problem? No, you're taking the problem elsewhere. You're really frustrating people. I mean, you know, they're really, really getting to people where it's that I talk to guys every day, and they're just totally frustrated. You know, they're tired.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's not strong. You know, you have some weak people, but then you got a lot of people that they steal for their habits. You know, I don't necessarily agree with what's going on, but I feel that being an American, being a citizen, you know, whether you're a taxpayer or not, you're still a human being, and you should be treated like an animal.
Absolutely.
You know?
Thank you for calling, Dee. Yeah,
right.
Those are really good points. All right, we have one more caller. I just want to squeak in here before we move on. Do we have another caller?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for talking. Let me turn my phone up. I can barely hear you. But I'm very appreciative of everybody who's spoken on the phone this evening. I feel kind of inept, but I'm a certified security officer, and I would like to be able to help. I'm a member, too, and I would like to be able to help St. Francis. So if I had the phone number...
Oh, absolutely. Amen, brother. 503-232-5880. That's the main St. Francis number.
Okay.
And if they're a little disorganized right now, they're under a lot of pressure, and just be persistent. I'm sure they would love your help.
Oh.
And just make sure they get back to you.
Would it?
And, you know, I can always be found here, and I'd be happy to try to hook you up as well.
Okay. I don't know who you are.
My name is Ani. I'm the volunteer coordinator.
Oh, Ani, right on. I know who you are.
you can find me at KABU, 503-231-8032.
Okay, that's great. I bet there's other certified security officers out there who are members.
What a brainstorm.
I just challenge them to come online and let's just talk to St. Francis. Do you think that...
There's an idea.
Do you think that security officers is the way to go, personally, Ani?
I don't think so. This is what the Southeast Precinct Commander Grubb is demanding. Hi. This is what the Southeast Precinct Commander is demanding, is that it's paid, certified security people. I don't think that's a long-term solution. I think you're right.
Okay, I see what you're saying, right.
But I think that this is a very interesting idea, and certainly one that we could explore as a way of maybe, you know, providing some incredibly important services right now and maybe alleviating some pressure.
You could have a security guard drive.
It's an interesting concept that I had not thought of before your call.
It's just a little sub-cult, but, you know, some of us are members, and, you know, we're raising
our arms up at night, you know,
under the stars, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Right on, man. What's your name?
Ted.
All right.
God bless you, Ted. Thank you for calling.
God bless us all.
God bless us all, indeed.
All right. Oh, those are some rad calls. Dude, what a fabulous night it was. Thank you so much, everyone who called. Because we're near the end of our show, I wanted to squeak in. Let me just give you the St. Francis number once more. 503-232-5880. You can call to learn more about volunteering or helping out in some other way. You can serve meals there. You can just go down and see what's happening. You could also write to city council people in support of St. Francis. And I'm kind of worried about Randy Leonard. Was he elected? Does anyone know?
I didn't look.
I'm not sure. He's elected.
Yep.
Okay, so that's your first task, people, because Randy Leonard said that he was, as to sit lie ordinance, he was going to do whatever the business association told him to do. So this man is not necessarily our friend. Beware, beware, beware. So you might be needing to call Randy.
But wait, he's supposed to be the populist from East 82nd.
Okay. Speaking of populist initiatives, I did have a brief...
You know, there was a reason I never looked at the news today.
I know, I've been avoiding it too. I have a brief update on the Eugene Homeless Initiative. We've been following this, so I thought y'all might want to know what's been going on with that. The homeless man Traveler is still up a tree in Eugene's downtown park blocks. He's been up there for a couple weeks now, keeping the homeless protests alive. The city of Eugene has responded by putting a $3,000 city-built chain-link fence around him to cut off supporters from giving him food and water. If you can even believe this.
Oh, my God.
They have been charging people with aiding and abetting a tree sitter, for which there is no law, but this is what they're being charged with, apparently. And last week, a human rights commissioner got a citation for aiding and abetting Traveler because she sent a basket of food up the tree. So apparently human rights are against the law now. So John Hubbard, a homeless rights activist and Eugene resident, wrote to tell us that they are meeting with the city, they're dealing with this issue. They're not sure what's going to happen yet, but he is in contact, and some of the people from the Eugene Homeless Initiative are in contact, and they've been participating in a conference with Traveler, a speakerphone conference about ways to constructively resolve the tree sit.
Can I comment on that for just one moment?
Sure.
Like, if the irony might have gone by, you'll never invite me to be a guest on your show again. This is what happens. I just come in, I take over. As if anyone missed the irony of a city spending $3,000 to quell homeless protest, you know, and instead of spending, you know, $3,000, $6,000, $10,000 on actual services to people. I think that that's incredible.
I agree.
Enough said.
Enough said. That phone conference didn't happen. All kinds of stuff is going down. The short of it is that if you're going to be in the Eugene area, please do go and see about the tree sit. See what you can do. Maybe tell the city what you think when you're there about building a $3,000 fence around a
person
protester
in a tree.
I am going to make a very brief announcement. Sunday, November 17th, the Coalition Against Hate Radio is having a fundraising dinner, and this issue is close to my heart because of all the smack radio personalities talked about Dignity Village when they were by the Fremont site, including telling people to throw bricks at the homeless people off of the bridge, which is illegal.
Yeah.
And so anyway, the Coalition Against Hate Radio deals with this kind of baloney and the kind of stuff they have going on in KXL 750 AM, all the hate talk. So they're having a fundraising, a much-needed fundraising dinner. That's Sunday, November 17th, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the First Congregational Church downtown on Park Street. It's $25, but it includes a very yummy dinner and a speaker, Professor Randy Blazak from PSU, who's totally awesome and knows a lot about hate crimes. So go ahead and email him if you want more info, antihateradio@AOL.com. You've got to RSVP for that event. All right, we're going to squeak out of here. This concludes today's Hole in the Bucket. We're on the first and third Wednesday of every month, 6 to 7 p.m. Our next show is going to be on November 20th. If you want to send us your comments or ideas, you can send them to kboobucket@yahoo.com. I'd like to thank Liam Delta for engineering today's show. He's so fabulous.
Swelligant.
He's swelligent. And I want to thank Annie Haynes. The woman with too many names sitting across from me. Thank you, Annie, for
thank
coming.
Thank you, Orion.
Thank you, Jay, for coming out. And everyone listening today and calling. We'll catch you again November 20th. Don't forget to go to the meeting at the Norris Hall at 111 Northeast 11th right now for the Buckman Neighborhood. Do stay tuned for the KBOO Community Calendar, followed by Nonstop Hip Hop with DJ Audio. Can you go out with which song was it? The first song we were going to play, Liam, the 6 Days. It's kind of an anti-war song. I think it's kind of nice. And this is a song by DJ Shadow. I think it's track 6 on his album, The Private Press. Thanks for listening.